This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. We begin with Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Pivot Bio. Farmers in Pembina County, North Dakota, making very good harvest progress. MR Consulting owner Mark Ramsey says harvest is starting to wind down.
I would say, you know, for sure, by the end of the week, there won't be very much left, if any. Sunflowers, maybe there'll be a few of those left, but as far as the, you know, the obviously the soybeans and the corn, there's not going to be a lot of that left here by the end of the week, for sure.
And Ramsey says corn moisture has been dry.
Coming off fairly dry, anywhere from the very, you know, low 20s to the mid-teens. So, yeah, everybody's pretty pleased. You know, you can't ask for anything better for seeding, especially soybeans into June and getting what we're getting. It just doesn't get any better than that. Hope for a nice end of fall here, get everything done and everything in the bin where it needs to be, and move on to 23.
Kennedy, Minnesota farmer Tom Bowder is finishing up soybeans today.
Our soybean crop has been from average to really good to the last part that we were taking off here yesterday and today. Got planted a little bit on the later side, and we got some frost damage on that. So it's all over the board, and yield reduced on that, of course. Yep. Typically, yeah, we haul them right off the field because of storage. We have to have a lot of storage for our sunflower crop, and we store most of our wheat till we get it marketed. So we're limited on the storage for the beans, so we typically just haul them in and right off the field.
Bowder plans to break into sunflowers if the weather holds.
Yeah, if we can get things converted over, we're going to get hopefully rolling on them late today. If not today, it'll be first thing tomorrow, and hopefully we won't get any rain or snow this weekend like they're talking. You know, visually, from the road and walking in them, they look good. There's a few. We've got a couple of fields. We've got about 900 acres. We've got a couple of fields that didn't quite, I don't think, fill right in the center of the head. But for the most part, they look good. I've been hearing some pretty phenomenal yields in our area in that 28 to over 3,000-pound range. So I'm hoping we're going to be closer right in that ballpark.
Matt Swenson, who farms near Walcott, North Dakota, is hauling hay today after finishing up sunflower harvest.
Crop come off pretty good, kind of in stages. Some flowers were planted early, some were late, so it kind of extended the harvest window quite a bit. But everything came off pretty well, a little wet, but not too bad.
Swenson says yields were spotty, depending on if the crop was picked up, if the crop picked up an extra inch of rain in August. Sunflower acres have increased in his area.
It's a good average crop. Some fields a little bit better than average. All depends on where you got the rain this year. There's getting to be more every year. This year took a substantial increase, but it's getting to be more, that's for sure.
Harvest Hotline is presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill and Pivot Bio.
Russia announced this week that they suspended participation in the exports of ag products from Ukrainian ports. North Dakota State University crops economist and marketing specialist Frayne Olson says there are short-term and long-term impacts of Russia's suspension on grain shipments.
Let's be really clear. So Russia suspended their involvement or their participation in this safe zone corridor that allows primarily Ukrainian vessels, but also some Russian vessels, to enter and exit their ports, and especially getting transit then into the Black Sea. Now, we are also starting to hear that the grain movement from the country into the port facilities is beginning to slow. So even though there's not an immediate stoppage, there will be a very quick slowdown. Again, vessels are leaving, but the question is, will they re-enter?
And Olson says besides affecting the wheat market, there'll be ripples going through the corn market as well. There are other countries working to remedy that agreement.
Now, the United Nations, Turkey, are pushing very hard to try and resolve this, not only on a short-term basis, but also longer-term, because the original agreement that allowed this safe zone to appear, it was only good for 120 days. So November 19th is the day where that original agreement was supposed to run out. So there were negotiations going on between Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, and the United Nations to try and extend that or possibly expand it to include some other commodities. So again, this really throws a big wrinkle in all of that. This is going to be, at the bottom line, will be politics that at the end dominate. Forecasting political outcomes is almost impossible.
Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Sam Hudson says traders continue to watch developments in South America while soybean shipments out of the Gulf continue to struggle.
At a time where we're trying to get as many beans out of the country as we can, you know, this barge freight situation is not going away. You know, it's just going to be a new normal. The good news is, you know, movement and sales there are ahead of pace. Unfortunately, it's detriment of corn movement, and I think that's going to be our struggle here moving forward.
Unrest in Brazil is also being closely monitored.
Concerns about what that could lead to here, including potentially some export controls and even reductions or curtailing of open up more farmland down there. So those are the things that Mark's talking about in kind of a vacuum, and you know, we're coiling up for this next USDA crop report too here on the 9th. It's just around the corner.
Dry conditions have hampered wheat seeding and emergence in the core U.S. wheat regions. Approximately 74% of the U.S. winter wheat crop is in an area experiencing drought. Wheat Quality Council Executive Vice President Dave Green says while it's worrisome that the wheat got off to a dry start, it's not totally uncommon.
Well, I mean, we're obviously a lot of the western U.S. is struggling with abnormally dry weather. And the crop is getting planted into dry dirt, and everybody is very much hoping that with above normal or better, certainly better rainfall conditions here through the winter and early spring that we can recover. But it's not an official death knell for the crop, but it's a bad start, and everybody's pretty worried because we need the wheat.
Green says the wheat could still turn out an average crop if there were timely rains. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Market analysts watching for any news coming out of this week's Federal Reserve meeting. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says traders are widely expecting a 0.75% rate hike.
I think this market is also looking ahead to tomorrow to see what's going to happen with the Federal Reserve and their interest rates. Everybody's expecting a 0.75%. I think it's going to be their language they use to what they're going to do in December that'll set the tone.
Martinson says the livestock market, though, will be much more impacted by an interest rate hike.
Well, right now it is, you know, because right now that's going to take the discretionary, you know, income away from the average consumer. So the higher the interest rates go, the higher the mortgages, the higher the credit card debt. That means less money per month to spend on other things like dining or eating out and even buying food at the grocery store.
Mexico has confirmed that it does not plan to amend its ban on imports of GMO corn that is set to start in 2024. Mexico is a top customer for U.S. corn, accounting for 20 to 25% of U.S. corn exports annually. Mexico says they'll make direct deals with farmers in the U.S., Argentina, and Brazil to produce non-GMO corn to supply their needs. National Corn Growers Association is claiming Mexico is violating a trade agreement. It also impacts a cross-section of other USA commodities that are biotech.
The U.S. Identity Preserved Plan and Brand with the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance continues its international launch in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Todd Sinner, partner of SB&B Foods, says current customers and potential customers are excited to learn more about the IP products.
We're excited to unveil it to not only Vietnam, but all the Southeast Asia markets. So it's being broadcast all over Southeast Asia. There's a lot of excitement. We had a lot of current customers that want to start buying U.S. IP soybeans. The excitement in the room was there and continued throughout the day, and we certainly look forward to tomorrow as well to have more discussions and meetings with all these buyers.
Since its national launch in December of 21, about a dozen U.S. companies are using the mark, and several more are navigating the application and qualification process.
The value that's added to this product and what the U.S. farmers are able to produce certainly brings a value along with it, and that's part of the reason why I'm here, why other U.S. soybean representatives are here to promote our product. It's the best in the world, and our farmers do a heck of a job in raising it, and we want to just open up more markets for our U.S. farmers and the identity preserved soybean that continue to be in high demand.
Sinner says this quality assurance program will expand markets for specialty soya products, not just in Southeast Asia.
President Biden spoke to incoming Brazilian President Lula. In addition to offering congratulations on the election, Biden spoke about the need to address common issues. The list includes food insecurity, climate change. The current Brazilian president has not yet conceded that election. Upset with the election results, protesters have set up numerous roadblocks throughout Brazil.
Russian President Putin says his country will consider its participation in the Black Sea Grain Initiative. However, Putin wants an investigation into a weekend drone attack on Russia's ocean fleet to be finished first. Russia suspended its involvement in the grain deal Saturday. That due is currently scheduled to expire on November 19th.
The crop protection company UPL is reporting a 28% increase in quarterly profits. Second quarter income totaled $98.4 million. UPL credits higher commodity prices and a favorable exchange rate.
Six Canadian farm organizations have formed one group called HQ, or called Grains HQ. The group represents the grain, pulse, and oilseed crops and will provide a united voice to the government on ag policy. Market access and reliable rail service are among its priorities. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, you can visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Cover crops are well put in for the year. Midwest Cover Crops Council Program Manager Anna Morrow says it's getting late to put in cover crops, but there is still some time for rye.
We're getting late in the Midwest, and so we're pretty much down to the winter cereals being about the only option. I always have to put a plug in for the Midwest Cover Crops Council selector tool. It will help you with the recommended exact dates for your county. So that's always good to check there before you see the cover crop. You know, talk to Extension NRCS, some of those folks. But yeah, there's still some time to get a cover crop established this fall. Most of the Midwest, you're going to see cereal rye because it can tolerate the cold weather this time of year.
Morrow says timing of the cover crops depends on what you want to achieve with that cover crop.
So that's going to, you know, depend on your cropping system and your management, the amount of time that you have. As a general rule, the earlier you can get them planted, the more growth, biomass, and benefits you're going to get. So, depending on what your management is and whether you're willing to do some interseeding into a standing crop or whether you want to get those drilled after harvest, that's going to kind of make a difference.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour, we're seeing December wheat Minneapolis 4.5 cents higher at 8.95¾. March 5¾ cents higher, 9.95½. Chicago December wheat is 17 cents higher now at 8.99¼. Kansas City December wheat 7 cents higher at 9.85¾. December corn 6 cents higher, 6.97½. March corn's up 5½ at 7.02¼. The January soybeans 28¾ cents higher, 14.48¼. March up 27¼ at 14.54¾. December meal down $3.10 a ton. Bean oil 57 points higher. In Winnipeg, January canola is $8.70 a metric ton higher, $8.8770 Canadian. December live cattle down 45 cents at $1.5202. February is down 55 cents at $1.5527. November feeder cattle down 67 cents at $1.7695. January down $1.30 at $1.7815. December lean hogs are 22 cents higher at $85.15. February hogs 7 cents higher at $88.52. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.